And Joyce and Charles, Liz made a great point to reflect that soon, this weekend, is Columbus Day weekend. And there's a useful opportunity to transition it into Indigenous Peoples Day or some component of another way of understanding this history of the world. We're also in a couple of days on the 13th approaching National Coming Out Day, which is a historical time where people come out as gay, lesbian, bisexual. But rarely anymore is that seen as quite a big issue as it once had. Still, all ministers recognize that humanity is split between these two poles. When we think about Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day, we don't necessarily share happy feelings of those two things, whereas National Coming Out Day typically is a little bit more of an exciting experience. A number of years ago, when I was in college, I helped plan, actually, a concert for National Coming Out Day. It was headlined by a couple different groups, and one of the songs was all about how some homophobe had stolen this woman's bike, but she chased him down, getting it back, and happy to stick one of her pro-gay stickers on his back. Coming out matters, whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or you. This aspect of naming our identity, whoever we are, is powerful, especially in light of how often our stories get recast and rewritten, as often they do, especially for those communities that are historically marginalized: Indigenous people, people of color, women, those with disabilities, and so on. One of the things that is important in religious community, especially so for ministers, is that awareness that we live in every moment between two poles. One of the things we learned when it came to becoming a minister is that in every worship, more or less, there's someone celebrating a birth and mourning a loss. Someone so joyful and hopeful, and someone who's just losing sight of anything positive or possible. That's how it can be in our own internal lives. It's also true in the greater world. This quote from David Bumbaugh helps pull this together. He writes, "This church is dedicated to the proposition that behind all of our differences and all of our diversity, there is a unity which makes us one and binds us forever together in spite of time and death and the space between the stars." We pause in silent witness to that unity. We come to a community to be bound together in some way, even amidst our differences and diversity, and here at a Unitarian Universalist congregation, or in some other UU setting, we do that seeking diversity and unity. If you've never been to General Assembly, usually a congregation of 4,000 to 6,000 people, not just a couple of hundred as we are, that is another place where there is lots of joy and angst, celebration and sorrow. Just this past year, I was at General Assembly for the first time in a couple of years. I myself was having my own, like, going back and forth. I was celebrating finishing this big hurdle professionally, but still, there were people around me wrestling with losing their calling, having difficulty in different congregations and wondering where their own sense of ministry lay. Even, again, not on a personal level, but a global level, at General Assembly, we got to celebrate same-sex marriage equality across the land and the struggle of finding out that the Ferguson, Missouri charges against the police officer weren't going forward. How, as Unitarian Universalists, could we hold such different feelings in the same room? It's hard for us as one person to do that occasionally, let alone 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people. That doesn't always work well. It's certainly not easy, but it's something that we have committed ourselves to doing, particularly at General Assembly. Each year, you see, people come together to form a community to do the work of our church, and it's really no different than what you and I are doing right now, except it only happens once. They come together, each separate and individual from the different places in their lives, yet making something whole. Isn't that what we do? Over time, General Assembly has gone between different dynamics, much like congregations, whether they are too strongly towards humanist theology or theist, too strongly lay-led or minister-led. They go back and forth between having strong boundaries or weak boundaries, or getting things right or not. One of my first experiences with General Assembly was in Fort Worth, Texas. And after a long week and an earlier training in Dallas, where several of the young people who I was helping to lead in the training had been racially profiled, at the very end of General Assembly, some more of the young people of color were left out of the assembly hall from some of our white UUs. Literally, they said, "You don't look like you could be one of us." In the aftermath of such a hard experience, wondering why some people could go through but not others, we as a community broadly had to wrestle with, how do we do this? How do we learn to not just tolerate other groups, other cultures, other identities, but accept them, knowing that we are different wholly? This is our call, by the way. This is our vision. It's not just some of us, not just a few of us, but our faith, as our call or our chalice lighting that Angie shared put it, is universal among us. Paul Raiser writes, "Becoming a multiracial, multicultural, Unitarian Universalism fulfills the vision we have long held." He cites Mark Morrison Reed, who says, "We do this to see the richness in human diversity and to be excited by its possibility." We want your stories. The call to worship we have used for the past 3 weeks have encouraged you to share your story, not to lay back in silence, but to know that you matter so that others may also know that. If you've had a difficult life, if you are a part of a community that has historically marginalized, it's important to share that, to come out in some way, so that others know it's safe. And for those who haven't, those who have had a smoother sailing, the waters haven't been as choppy, your role in life maybe has a little bit more privilege, it's important for you to create a space, a community, where it's okay to be different, and perhaps more than okay, encouraged. So often we think that Unitarian Universalism is prime for this. Our faith is centered on the idea that we do not look solely to the past or any one person or God for our truth, right? That's the truth. And yet so often our communities are centered in one cultural frame. Paul Raiser, a current UU theologian, writes, "Unitarian Universalism has its own cultural tradition, one that's rooted in European-American norms and ways of being in the world. This normative lens is often invisible to those of us who look through it, but if you're on the outside looking in, it's all too visible. That's why this ongoing work is so important. We cannot become a multicultural faith if we continue to treat our faith as just the right one, the normative one. It's important for us to look at our own church, specifically in our faith more broadly, to figure out how we might move forward. There are ways you and I can be good to one another and to different groups, different identities, different communities. Maybe you've experienced it in your life, becoming an ally. Sitting in the room and having your conscience raised throughout the 60s and 70s and 80s and beyond. Maybe you have a friend who's helped you see what it's like to live on a different side of the road in a different neighborhood, to grow up poor or middle class or rich. Whatever the case, we know that our faith must be one where all are truly welcome. If we're building a safe community, what good does it do to build something safe if not everyone can be here? Often, we wonder how we can engage with one another when we disagree, either with someone's words or actions. And over the past couple decades, we have too often built an altar to the God of individual whims and wants at the cost of what our community needs. That's not always been the case. For much of our history, we were guided by the principle that we could disagree, and we should, but to do so without being disagreeable. and that the most compassionate, loving thing to do was to kindly communicate with one another rather than sit in silence or shun one another. Working to reach out is important. Often in this day and age, people worry about what that will look like. How many of you are on some form of social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or Tumblr? Or others. I'm sure there are lots of others. Clearly, I'm limited there. Tell my age of sort there. There is a sort of culture that is growing and becoming. And last night, there was a great article from the UUA that I hope to loop in, which talks about the difference between calling people out on the mistakes they make and calling people into relationship. The UUA, someone on staff writes this, "We call people in when we recognize the covenant, how we are central. Individuals realize ministry isn't all about them, and when something's broken, we heal it together. Calling people out, that's when we work to shame or blame someone. And that's the painful part. Mistakes in communities will always be there. Mistakes in our own lives will always be there. And the question is, what are we going to do to go beyond just hurting one another to having a beautiful, growing faith? Many different faces, many different experiences, many different visions that still move forward liberal religion. We have to look both to our past and to the future. The good news of our faith, the saving grace for us all, is that there are so many people interested and committed to social justice, even though we can't always get the work done. The truth is, we may not always get the work done. There's always so much more to do, more we wish we could do. And so we look to moving ahead just a little bit, even if it's not perfect, to helping one another. Here at this church, I want you to think about the people you know and their identities. We have talked some about in the past few weeks my identity, some of your identities. I want you to look around and see who is in the room and ask yourself who was not. This worship series was really started by a pastoral conversation I had with a member who wanted to let me know why they weren't coming anymore. She identifies as lesbian. She identifies as someone who has a Hispanic heritage. And upon hearing any number of slightly racially tinged or offensive words and homophobic words, she just didn't feel like she could be here. I imagine for many of you, that's kind of a shocking thing to hear because we think that this place is the one place where we couldn't or wouldn't do that to one another. But the truth is that I and you make mistakes constantly. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be in relationship. We're called to reach beyond what we know now to something bigger, to grow a bigger heart and vision. I leave you with these words from Eric Hausman. It's a reading entitled, "The Vision We Share." Sometimes the vision we share for compassion and community, it's bigger than our actual hearts. Often our hopes for a just society is that both free and, for a just society that is both free and responsible exceeds what we actually do to create it. But may we never let our flailing and our floundering keep us from seeking it again and again to live out the hopes and dreams of our collective heart. May we be guided by light, by hope, and by courage for the journey to welcome more and more into our homes and our lives. Amen, and blessed be.